We'll now proceed by having the public testimony on House Bill 1011. Is there anyone here a proponent of that bill, 1011?
Go on, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Before I present House Bill 1011, I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome you all back to Pierre for another legislative session. I hope you have a good, productive session. For those of you who don't know me, my name is David Braun. For the last 12 years, I've served as legal counsel and attorney with the Department of Social Services Office of Child Support Enforcement. As you can see, House Bill 1011 is a relatively straightforward, simple bill. What it will allow the department to do if it doesn't pass and become law is that the department, in addition to serving withholding orders by certified mail upon employers or by personal service by the sheriff upon employers, to allow the department to serve the withholding order by first-class mail in addition to those two other recognized methods in statute already. There's two basic reasons that we're proposing this legislation. The first, obviously, is cost and time savings. Right now, the Department of Social Services is issuing approximately, based upon our estimates, 2,000 wage withholding orders a month upon employers for the collection of child support. We anticipate with certified mailing costs at this point in time, if we are authorized by the statute to serve by first-class mail as opposed to personal service or certified mail, the department would save approximately $70,000 per year in certified mailing costs. That's the primary factor, one of the primary factors and reasons why we're proposing the bill. The second reason is more of a practical side or aspect to the bill. And essentially, the way the system is set up right now nationwide for the collection of child support, any child support enforcement agency in the nation can serve a withholding order upon any employer located anywhere in the nation. So the situation that we're facing in South Dakota is, in addition to our child support enforcement agency issuing withholding orders to South Dakota employers to withhold child support, South Dakota employers are also receiving numerous wage withholding orders from the other states, 40 agencies, for the collection of child support. And it's a standardized, federally mandated form that's got to be used by all states as part of our program. The point being is that the vast majority of these states who are issuing withholding orders to South Dakota employers other than us are doing it by first-class mail. So this will not be a new concept for South Dakota employers. It won't be a change for South Dakota employers. What it will allow us to do basically is to serve by first-class mail and put us on equal footing with all the other child support enforcement agencies in the nation who are serving by first-class mail now. One possible concern regarding the bill is that employers can, under our statutory scheme, be held liable for not honoring a withholding order once it's issued and served to them. And so questions or issues may be raised, well, if that's the case and they can be held liable for not honoring the withholding order, that we should require either personal service or service, or first class, excuse me, certified service or personal service by the sheriff. Essentially, I guess, my point being is that we already have a number of states already issuing by first-class mail. Also, the situations in my 12 years with the department where an employer has not complied have been very, very rare where we've had to pursue employers for noncompliance. They know what this withholding order is. They know the purpose after the time it's been in place. Also, if we do identify an employer, if the bill passed, we identify an employer who is not complying. The first thing I do as legal counsel is send them reminding letters as far as the legal requirements and statutory requirements of withholding. That generally takes care of the few minor problems we've had. If we do have an employer who is not going to comply, though, what we do intend to do if the bill passes, we intend to reserve a new withholding order by either certified mail or sheriff's service. The reason being is if we're going to pursue the employer, we're going to have to prove as part of our case knowledge of the order anyway, plus appropriate service, and the only way we can do that is through either certified mail with a signature or service by the sheriff. In a nutshell, we see this as a practical cost savings bill for the department that puts us on equal footing with all other child support enforcement agencies and would request your support of the bill. I'd be happy to answer any questions anybody might have.
Anybody have any questions of the witness? Representative Monroe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sorry to be late. how do we know that? Is there something that obligates them if you say if they don't get a reply, and it can't be proved that the first class mail got there, like you're talking about, that
right.
There's not something that says they need to go personally or certified, or are we saying they're just going to do that?
What we intend to do, Representative Monroe, in addition to our program, is obviously funded by federal funding. As part of that, we have to have a policy and procedures manual in place that is reviewed by the feds, reviewed by everybody else. It doesn't have the force and effect of law as an administrative regulation or a statute. What we intend to do if the bill passes, basically, is that we intend to amend the policy and procedures manual immediately to indicate that we will do first-class mailing of withholding orders per the statute in the event then there is non-compliance, in the event that the employer does not respond to our courtesy letter requesting compliance. At that point in time, it's going to be our intent to serve by either certified mail or service by the sheriff. That's only if we're going to pursue court action against the employer. It's not going to be in the statute, it'll be in the policies and procedures manual. But in reality, that's really the only way we're going to be able to prove our case anyway. Because, as I indicated, if we're going to pursue an employer for noncompliance as part of our case, we're going to have to prove that there was service upon the order, appropriate service upon the order, which first-class mail wouldn't do, knowledge of the order, and noncompliance. And so if we're going to pursue an employer in those rare cases where it's not complied with, essentially to prove the case in the first place, we're still going to have good service upon the employer other than first class, which either can be certified under existing statute or personal service under the existing statute.
Representative Siebert.
What is the period of time I get a letter, supposedly get a letter, or I don't get a letter? What is the period of time that you'll notify me that I should have been making withholdings? I'm one of the guys that deal with that, and I don't want to pay somebody else's child support. I got my own kids to feed.
Representative Siebert, I believe that right now our withholding orders are basically automated, and they are kicked out by our computer, and we have a hit with a new hire directly, the Department of Labor. I know we are under current federal requirements, we're required to issue those from the department level within 2 days of the new hire hit when we find somebody is employed with an employer. At that point in time then, our workers, our investigators in the field, they have a system or a worker to do system set up to work, and I'm not sure the time frames that if there's not compliance, they do get a reminder then to touch base with the employer, and I believe, and I'm not sure of this, I believe it's within 10 days, okay, if there's non-compliance. And then essentially, if that doesn't do it through the investigative field, there'll be follow-up, they'll contact me, I'll contact the employer and remind them either by telephone or letter or both, indicating the reason why we're doing this, the statutory scheme of doing it, and I indicated before that generally takes care of the problem. In the very rare instance, like I indicated, in 12 years that I've been attorney with the Department of Social Services, I believe we've only had to pursue two or three employers for total noncompliance with the order itself.
Through this paper process, I miss a month. Am I responsible for that month, 2 months?
You could be held responsible if you do not withhold. The employer could be held responsible if they do not withhold. That very rarely happens.
Yeah, but in this case, it would not be my error. If I got a certified letter, it is my error. But if I don't get the mail, it's not my error, and yet you expect me to make a child support payment.
That's correct. But again, the only point that I can state is that, we actually pride ourselves in the way that we attempt to work with the employer industry within the state of South Dakota. And obviously, I think for the legislators who've been here over the years, they know that we have placed a lot of requirements upon employers. I can tell you that it's not the department's intent, if an employer misses one payment for whatever reason, that we're going to go out and sue that employer for noncompliance. Essentially, we're going to work with the employer to bring them into compliance, to let them know the statutory scheme and the purpose.
Is it legal for me, or what is my process? Can I withhold more the next paycheck to catch up if I have to make payment?
That is satisfactory, yes.
Thank you.
Any further questions from the committee? I have Representative Michaels.
In answer to your last question, though, Dave, isn't there a minimum
that
you don't impoverish them?
Well, yes. We can only withhold up to 50%. Okay, you can only withhold up to 50% of a person's net income. Under all circumstances, you cannot withhold more than 50% of a person's net income. That's correct.
So, I mean, Representative Seabird could catch up. It just didn't have to be.
Right, but still could not exceed the 50% limitation under current state or federal law.
Thank you, sir.
You bet. Thank you.
Representative Mitchell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question is, it seems to me that our discussion is revolving around the consequences if a person doesn't receive notice. This bill in front of us is just to add this to the list. Is it possible in the statute, and if I'm not mistaken, it's the next one coming up, is it possible to make the consequence not kick in unless the notice has been by certified mail or personal delivery, since what you're saying is that's the intention of your policies, that's the intention of the procedure, that's how you believe that you will act in these matters. Is it possible to make that a part of that statute?
And I think this goes back basically also the question Representative Monroe asked, is it going to be policy, is it going to be statute or administrative rule? The bill itself, if there are concerns in that regard, the bill itself could be amended. Okay, we could put a provision right in House Bill 1011 that indicates something to the effect that as far as pursuing employers or payers of income for noncompliance, that could only be done if there was actual certified mail or personal service, which is the existing statute as it exists now, if that concern exists with the committee and the legislature.
Any further questions from the committee? Representative Landra.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dave, so then what would the benefit of this bill be if we had an amendment such as you were just talking about? It would be cost savings and that most of the time it would work simply by first-class mail?
The primary purpose we're proposing it is because of the number. Right now, the department, we're carrying approximately 35,000 child support, open active child support enforcement cases. That's what we're running in the state of South Dakota, is 35,000 cases. That number is continually increasing every year. Because of that and because of the requirement of certified mailing upon employers, we're averaging right now 2,000 withholding orders a month, Representative Alondra. We anticipate that by certified mail, if we can get around certified mail and use first-class mail at this point in time, it's going to result in cost savings about $70,000 per year. Obviously, we very seldom use sheriff service. If we have to go to sheriff service to serve an employer, it's going to be considerably higher even at that point in time. Primarily cost savings. Plus, I indicated before, employers in South Dakota are receiving these now from other state 40 agencies by first-class mail with no problem. All this bill really does is put us on equal footing with every other child support enforcement agency in the nation, which is serving these withholding orders, the same withholding order, upon the employers now by first-class mail, so it puts us on equal footing.
Mr. Chairman? Excuse me. So then, but basically these other 48 states, there's probably a certain percentage where they're, you know, trying to make collections in South Dakota, but the bulk is actually from your active case file right within the state.
That would be a fair assessment. I'd say the vast majority being served upon South Dakota employers are by our 40 agency within the department, yes.
And could we just say something like maybe, you know, if the employer didn't respond from the first class mail, that maybe they would just be sent certified mail then?
I would suggest if we proceed in that manner that we say certified mail or sheriff service, which is the existing statutory scheme now. If they do not respond before any sort of penalty or action can be taken against an employer for noncompliance, that the withholding order then would have to be served by either certified mail or personal service, which is the existing scheme.
Representative Hennings.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dave, do out-of-state authorities, are they able to enforce a withholding order if it's only been sent by regular mail?
Generally not. And what happens in that situation, even though there's a great number being sent, or other state forward agencies are sending them to South Dakota employers, if you have a South Dakota employer, for instance, that gets a withholding order from the state of Virginia to withhold an employee for a mother and child that lives in the state of Virginia, and the employer obligor is working for an employer in South Dakota, generally the way it works right now is that because they really don't have the jurisdiction or ability to come into South Dakota to sue that employer for noncompliance, if there's not compliance by that employer, then they'll come through our agency and request our assistance, at which point in time we'll open up a case and issue a withholding order from South Dakota. But as far as state of Virginia suing a South Dakota employer, I've never seen that happen. We run in the same situation when, for instance, if we're going to serve a withholding order on an employer in the state of Texas. If the employer in the state of Texas does not comply, really our hands are tied. We're not going to go down to the state of Texas and sue a Texas employer for a petty offense. The penalty provision is petty offense. And what we will do in that situation then is to refer the case to the state of Texas, to have the state of Texas issue its withholding order. Then they can force compliance.
Thank you.
You bet.
It's my understanding then from your testimony that you would not object to the fact that we added another provision of this statute which would require a certified letter to the employer who hasn't answered before legal action is taken. Is that correct?
I believe that would be a friendly amendment, Mr. Chairman. It would still serve our purposes also.
Any further questions from the committee? If not, thank you.
Thank you.
Any further proponents of House Bill 1011? Any further proponents? Is there any opponents to House Bill 1011? Any opponents to House Bill 1011? If not, we'll close the committee from public testimony for committee discussion and or action. Representing McCauley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, I think a proper procedure would be to make the motion to defer till a date certain to Monday, January 14th.
Motion made by McCauley, seconded by Hennings to delay further action on this bill until Monday.
January 14th.
January 14th.
Mr. Chairman, may I comment on the motion?
Yes, you may.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I spoke with Rubin, and we'd like to have an amendment drawn up. And Rubin indicated he would like some time other than just this morning. So the amendment that I would be bringing on Monday would be to require actual notice to the employer via certified mail or personal service before any enforcement action was commenced, consistent with a witness's testimony. Thank you.
Any further comment on the motion? If not, may we have a roll call for the motion? I think we do it by vote, can't we? Yeah. All in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Pass.
Deferred.
Deferred. Deferred until Monday.